Never expected to be there, but we're there. We retired from Chrysler about 3 years ago, and the Lord says, you're not done. And so we don't get to go to Florida every year and do those kind of things. If you do, why do it in the grace of God. But Lord seen fit to lay it upon our hearts and the people in Maranatha to be their pastor. We have a couple of them here, Muriel and Dennis Morgan, and I want to say in front of everybody, they've been a great blessing to my wife and I. Faithful church members, love the Lord, and attend many of these conferences. So, my first thought all week, I've really been encouraged and uplifted by every message. And I'm not going to try to preach every message or even mention them. I don't have time, but it's been a great conference. And I've been impressed. And also, as I look around, I realize more what Hebrews 12:1 says, seeing this, we're compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses. You don't get any greater than you folks. I don't believe there's been any greater. And I've heard most of you preach for years. And what I believe God has taught me through you. And it's our desire to be a blessing to His people, to His church, to be used to win souls in the day that we live in. To see His church build up in the most holy faith. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. And so, we're humbled. Maybe you look at me and you say you don't see anything humble, but we are to God for His goodness to us. I told a couple folks this week, they've mentioned my sons, and my cup runneth over. God has been good to us. And I mean, I can't describe. Both of them are here today, and I love them as a father. I'm proud of them as a father. I love them in the Lord. I love them in the ministry. I love them for the truth's sake. I love you all for that. Been so much good singing. I was impressed. I wrote it down. We sang yesterday, He Lives. Isn't that great? Then this, How Great Thou Art, this morning. You know, there are a lot of people, multitudes of people that say they're Christians, and you see them waving their arms all over and all of this hyper stuff, you know, and they don't know how great God is. Don't know how to trust Him, don't know how to depend on Him, and don't know how to call upon Him. It's just, most of my remarks this morning are going to be toward preachers, but we hope it flows over into all of you. But we've determined, and God has really impressed us. There's so many things that I could say and really want to, you know. I really thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for godly women. Probably have a greater burden to bear today than you and I do. Live godly and be a godly woman in this present world. With all of the National Organization of Women and all the other things that's going on. And she's never said no to anything that I've said I believe the Lord wants us to do.
Amen.
Preachers, To begin with, I want to quote a paragraph from A.W. Pink, and I'm not saying I believe everything he says or has written or anything, but I want you to get this idea, because I think this is kind of my subject today. It says, few seem to realize the fearful implications which necessarily follow the principles they hold and advocate. To preach an atonement which fails to atone, a redemption which does not redeem, a sacrifice which secures not the actual remission of sins, is a horrific reflection upon all the attributes of God. And to make the efficacy or success of the greatest of all God's works dependent upon the choice of fallen and depraved creatures is to magnify man at the cost of dethroning God.
Amen.
I really like that. It's serious. What we do, there's no way, shape, or form, or place, or time to play games. It's serious, and I just think of so many things that are going on in our world, and would like to mention them all, but I can't do that, and so we'll go on to get into our message. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture, and I may take some liberty with that. Proverbs 14. You young people listen especially, because I believe things don't have to be the way that they're demonstrated in our world. I believe you ought to look forward to marriage with the idea that you're going to live with that woman or boy forever. You cannot approach it with any doubt, and you ought to approach it with God's blessings. I've said to many people, and this would really, if I was a girl, a boy says, if you love me, you let me have sex. You just tell him, if you love me, you won't want it until we're married and in right in the sight of God.
Amen.
And that goes for drugs and everything else. Listen, I believe that our world and many, many religious organizations and many Baptists have given up on just preaching the Word and the power of God to be able to do and accomplish His work. That's why that we've fallen to all of the gimmicks and gadgets and all of the methodology and other things that have been introduced into many true churches. It's because of the sense of failure or not accomplishing anything.
Amen.
Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I'm going to take enough liberty with that to say I believe there are many ways that seemeth right unto men.
Amen.
They all have the same end.
Right.
Not godly. And our responsibility is to God.
Amen.
So as we look at this, I want you to think along with me. There are many contradictions to the Word of God in our world today. Many of them are evident. I've always kind of joked as I drive along the road and I see a sign that says, Grace, Free Will Baptist Church. Isn't that a contradiction? Can you believe that? We've heard a lot about grace this week, and I love grace. You don't get it only one place. You get that from God. He's the God of all grace. There isn't anything but sovereign grace. Because God is sovereign. God of all comfort. He's God of all strength. God of all power. So there are many things that seem right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then, along with that, I've read this before too, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we found this. We've been saved 49 years, or will be in a month. And I just rejoice that some have mentioned it this week already, you know. I've never seen anybody saved but one way. The preaching of the gospel and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He says, I am the way. What in the world would anybody want to look for something else? Because it won't work. It won't do the job. And to do it and say we're doing it for God. But anyway, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29 said, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. Well, we've seen that all the way through the book, you know. I mean, God does things for man, and then man ruins it, and then God comes back and straightens it out, and man ruins it. The long-suffering of Almighty God. But listen, it doesn't mean because he's long-suffering that he's going to condone sin or he's going to overlook it. And it's our responsibility, even though it seems like that sin's not sin anymore, but it's still our responsibility as preachers and as churches to stand against sin. We dare not endorse sin or approve of it. And so, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And every one of them is contrary to God if it comes from man. The only thing that you can depend on is the Word of God. You get it from the Word of God. And if what a preacher preaches lines up with the Word of God, and what churches believe line up with the Word of God, then you can depend on it. Because that way, it doesn't have that admixture of that man is able to put in. I read a couple scriptures in conjunction with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Aren't you thankful, preacher, that you don't have to devise devious methods?
Amen.
The Word says, for not having followed out cunningly devised myths. Isn't that great? Just preach the Word. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not having followed out cunningly devised myths, we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. But having become eyewitnesses of His majesty. Brother Hall, I'm really glad that he preached that message the first night, because I didn't want to be the only one to say these things and then have people maybe think that I'm down on preachers. I'm not. But there's a lot of them that we ought to be down on. Though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You think you have to get puffed up and do it all yourself? Better sit back down and look to the Lord. Without Him, we can do nothing. Totally dependent on God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Even this preacher, he can take this preacher and preach the Word and accomplish his purpose in this world. mighty to God, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And that's where all of this that seemeth right comes from, is from man's imaginations. Amen. How many people have said, don't you imagine it'd be all right to do this? Where's it at? Find it in here and I'll imagine it's all right. But otherwise, it's just imagination. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Oh, Brother Kissel really knocked us all in the head the other day. Yesterday. If anybody's here and would want to ever, it made public what they thought of the last 24 hours. Or the last hour. Bringing into captivity. That's our responsibility. We don't have the right to be frivolous. We don't have the time to be frivolous. And get involved with all of this off-color stuff that the world's got. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus.
Amen.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we will say this one more thing and then we'll get moving. The real myths of religion. And you know, there's a lot of seminaries today teaching that the first 11 chapters of Genesis and other things are myths. Baptist seminaries. The real myths of religion, I quote this from Roscoe Brown, but the real myths of religion are not to be found in the Bible, but come forth from the depraved minds of wicked men under the inspiration of Satan. That's good. I like that too. Because that's right. All right. Many are teaching for doctrine the commands of men. And many are believing. Many are following.
Amen.
Now, but Jesus said and encourages us, and I don't believe I'm taking this out of context either, because he's talking about the last days, and I believe we're there, Brother Hall. I really do. I believe we're closer than maybe any of us realize, because he said in an hour when you think not. But anyway, Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. No one. Even one called preacher. Even one called a Baptist preacher.
Amen.
Take heed into something that seems right. The old devil will try to get to appeal to our humanity. Sure, humanism is a raging forest fire in our world today. But anyway, many are deceived. And then there are many more that just plain don't care. Many called Baptists. They're not excited. They don't care about the things that we've been preached to this week. Now listen to these things. I like to read Vance Havner. I don't agree exactly with him either, but I like some of the things he says. But it lines up with the Word of God, some of it. But anyway, what we do affects people. We have influence. Preacher has influence. And we'll be careful with that influence. Look at Adam and Eve, you know. By one man's sin, sin entered into the world. Into the world! Everything that you and I do affects somebody. influences somebody. And we ought to be effectual for the Word of God. That's what we're called for. And so as we look at this, Vance Havner said, the situation is serious, but the saints ain't. A lot of preachers ain't serious. We got to be serious first. I believe the attitude of a preacher ought to be, Lord, send a revival, like the song says, start the work in me.
Amen, brother.
Jesus, being found in the fashion of a man, said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Amen. We need to humble ourselves and become obedient unto life. Amen. To the life that God's called us to a life of service and preaching His Word. All right, now, I'll insert this, and seriously again, I'm glad Brother Hall mentioned this first, but I said to a couple people this week, the condition of churches in our world, it's sad. That's why it's serious. Situation is serious. And we look at churches and we see them going out of whack and going out of business, and we shake our head. But you know what? Most churches get to where they're at by following a pastor. We're responsible. We must be responsible. And God's going to hold us responsible as one that has to give an account, Hebrews tells me. Now, certainly this is nothing new, but the condition of many churches, I'm thankful I haven't found this in ours, but there's compromise instead of conviction.
Amen.
All you have to do to see what God thinks of mediocrity or lukewarmness is read the first three chapters of Revelation. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And then there's complacency instead of expectancy. One thing that my folks down there are really tired of hearing me say is I want to see them enthusiastic. I want to see them living expectantly. I believe that's why the Lord says when you see these things come to pass, look up, you'd be expecting something to happen. Because something's going to happen. That song that Mark sang I can't think of her first name, but Sister Costner sang last night, Paula. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. That time's coming.
Amen.
When Jesus has said, go bring my people home.
Yeah.
And that's where we're to live, expecting that.
Amen.
And it's to be shown forth in our life and our living.
Yes,
complacency, there's no room. We don't have time for complacency. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time for all of this frivolity that's in our world. It's a desperate situation. And the only thing that will accomplish anything is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have first experienced. And I don't have time to go through all of that either, but there is complacency instead of expectancy. There's confusion instead of contentment. If anybody ought to be content, the child of God in one of the Lord's churches with a pastor that loves them and preaches the truth to them. Godliness with contentment, a great gain. But you know what? You go into the average church and most of them look like they have to be whipped to get there. They'd rather be anywhere else than where they're at. Enthusiastic. Love the Lord. And you know what? I've never found anywhere in this book where he says you have to be 30, 40, or 50, or 60 before you get that. You know, that really, really gets me. And I think you young people ought to be disturbed and insulted when somebody gets up and thinks and says, well, I have to entertain you. You're not old enough or big enough to love the Lord and to serve Him and have a desire in your heart.
Amen. Right, right, amen.
And another thing, right along with that same thinking, it's an insult to God.
Amen.
That God's not able to make a young person happy in church.
Amen.
We must realize the only thing that will make anybody happy in church is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life.
Amen.
And as He puts that desire and love in there.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to love. You know, I said I love my wife. You know, I wish I knew how to love her 47 years ago like I do today. Oh, it's been some difference in those 47 years. But it's been great. Like I said, many have given up on just preaching the Word. What's 2 Timothy chapter 4 say? Lord says, He describes what's happening. He said, many are going to depart the faith.
Amen.
Both things are mentioned in that verse, in that scripture. The false preachers and those departing the faith. He said they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If they're going to look for somebody that's not going to preach the truth to them so that they can feel comfortable in their sin.
That's right. Amen.
Sin's still sin.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference what man says and what it seems like. Sin's still sin, and God still condemns it. And it's why Christ died.
Amen.
And it's our responsibility to preach against it.
Amen. Amen.
Wages of sin is death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's not. And He not at all acquit the wicked. Read over there in Nahum. Anyway, the reason for all of this, or the causes, or some of the causes, is the aggressiveness of Satan.
Right.
You know, you don't hear a whole lot preached about Satan anymore, but he's just as real as he ever was. He's just as real as he was over there in Job chapter 1. And he has just as much freedom today as he had over there, and just as much power.
Yeah.
Went into the very presence of Almighty God and said, look at there. He's only serving you because you've given him the world with a tail on the end of it. So God told him. And what happened to Job, and the description there is what attitude that every one of us ought to have.
Amen.
Yea, though he kill me,
amen,
I'll not depart from him.
Yeah.
And I love that over there where it says, in all of this, Job didn't lose his integrity. He didn't charge God foolishly. How many times you hear people say, why in the world did God do this to me? Or why did he bring me to this place? Because he's God and he's got the right to do anything he wants to.
Amen.
Almighty God, how great thou art.
Amen.
So as we look at this, the aggressiveness of Satan. You know, and I don't mean some fool dressed up in a red outfit. I've heard, and this happened not too far from us years ago, the preacher had somebody dress up in a red suit and hide in the baptistry. And then he got up and he took a stick and chased that fellow out of the building. He said, we don't allow the devil in here. You know how many fools there was in that building that day? More than the one just dressed up in that red suit. The one standing behind the pulpit. The one that grabbed the stick and everybody that agreed with it. I got on my notes here, there was at least three fools there, you know. The one in the suit and the one in the pulpit and the one that put up with it. We ought not put up with that kind of stuff. You ought not, really, I mean seriously, I'm not saying you got the right to do all these things, and I believe you ought to honor your pastor and all that, but you ought not to honor that kind of stuff. And if that stuff's going on, not a true church anyway. So anyway, but listen, he's real. He's a prince and a power of the air.
Amen, brother.
And he can take you and wring you out and do with you to where you don't know which end is up.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You think old Peter was any less Christian than you and me? And the Lord warned him. And he still did it.
Yeah.
But he said, Peter, he said, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. And he's still got that desire.
Right.
All that will live godly for Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
And we're in the right time for it.
Yes. That's right.
Thank God for it. And I really believe the truth of the church and church authority and all that. And I'm not going to preach that, but the aggressiveness of Satan. Number two, the increase of worldliness in all of us.
Amen.
I have to admit, I overlook things today that I would have turned backflips over 20 years ago. Television and all of the other isms that's out there is every bit of it's ungodly. We've grown. I've heard my brother say this, and it's so true. We've grown accustomed to the dark. Not quite as dark when you get accustomed to it. But if anybody's going to hear about it, you and I got to get it first and preach it to them. We're charged with that. Preach the truth. Preach the word. The aggressiveness of Satan, the increase of worldliness. You know, it's the old saying about it's great and it's intended. The church is supposed to be in the world. It's like a boat in the water. Boat, that's what a boat's for. But when the water gets in a boat, bad shape.
Amen.
The prevalence of indifference. That's always been. I really believe every preacher that's ever lived and every church has had to contend with that. Spiritual defeat, though, and this is the thing that I really get up in arms about. We've got the same God that we've ever had. We've got the same God. We've got the Abraham God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We've got the God of Moses. He's still able to part the Red Sea. He's still able to lead us in and take the land. It's our own puny doubts, you know, that cause us to say, we can't go in there. You know, we can't do that. We can't go down there in that area. That's bad neighborhood. You know, and those folks, they don't deserve to be saved anyway. They're sinners, you know. We forget what we were and are. It's only a sinner saved by grace. I heard, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, you Baptists think that you're it, you know. No, we're not it. We're just forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? God so loved us. I'm so far off my notes now that it's almost impossible. But it's a grievous thing. But spiritual defeat. If anything we ought to preach to our people is the ability. Unto as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God and to live as sons of God. I believe that. Enthusiasm. We are able to take the land. We're still able to preach the word. And we are able to live godly today. As much as anybody ever was. Spiritual defeat. Oh, we need to, if anybody needs to be the example, it ought to be the preacher. Preacher ought to be able to be victorious in this world. And get serious about preaching the word. I heard somebody else say this week, but we still got the same commission.
Right.
Got the same church, the same tools that's always been that God put in place.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I declare unto you that which I've already experienced, that which I know and I've handled of the word of life. Teach them to observe.
Yes. Amen.
And earnestly contend for the faith. That's not out of date.
No.
thing today is love everybody, you know, and overlook so that we can all get together. I want to read you, before my time is up, I want to read you something. You talk about contradiction. This is contradiction. See all them pages? I'm not even down there yet. I buy these things and read them. You ever go in a bookstore and pick up two or three books, you know, and a preacher wrote this. This says, Christian consideration of unity. Christians need each other. Now listen to this. This will blow your head right off. Christians need each other. It is important for Christians to live in unity. Amen. We will then be considerate of others. There are various churches and methods of worship. How they worship or which day they worship matters little. Is that right? Now listen to this. He contradicts himself. He said it matters little as long as they worship God according to Scripture. Isn't that an idiotic thing to say? First he's saying, forget everything, forget all of the Word, and just get along. And then he says, you're supposed to worship according to Scripture. But that's where we're at. That's where you and I are at. And the thing about it is, a lot of that sounds great, you know. But that's not what God said. God said in 2 Timothy, and probably every preacher here has had this preached at his ordination, you know. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word. Rebuke, exhort, and so on with all longsuffering, for the time will come. Brother Hall, I've got two or three areas here where you read in there, you know, the time will come. I've got the time has come. I've got it in here too, 2 Timothy 4. Time has come when they will depart the faith and heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But that don't mean that they're all going to be that way. And thank God. That's why I say I thank God for you, brethren, for what you've taught me and for the love and demonstration of the love of God all of the long-suffering. So the presence of spiritual defeat. Well, if anybody ought to be enthusiastic and know, we sing victory in Jesus, we ought to live it. Absolutely. Because there is victory in Jesus. So, all right, just mention two or three of these things that we ought to, or 8 or 10, 12 or 15 things that we ought to be victorious over. Seems like, doesn't it seem like, and really it is, our world is in high gear emotional overdrive. Turn on your TV and watch one of these silly guys strutting along on a platform similar to this, you know, and he's got everybody out there going like this. Boy, ain't they having a good time? You get them same folks and you tell them go home and clean up their act. Tell them go home and put on a dress. Tell them go home and cut their hair. Amen. And they'll scatter like a covey of quail. Yeah. Will not endure sound doctrine. But you know what? Even though our people don't like it, you and I are supposed to preach it. Because it's in the book. It's part of that whole counsel of God that He's told you and I to preach and teach them to observe. And that's hard sometimes. It really is. All right. The Word of God seems not to excite even God's people. I like good singing, and we've been having a lot of specials at our church nets. But whatever happened to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Yes. That saved a wretch like me. Amen. You ever get over that? I never have.
No.
It's still just as amazing today as it was 49 years ago.
Yes.
First, first time out, I really heard it.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying? See, God says, be not deceived.
Yes.
No, there's so many things we need not be deceived in, and I'm totally out of time, but I want to mention this. 39 people in California willing to die for a nightmare of Satan. God says, live. Live for me. He doesn't ask us to die. He didn't ask them to die. They were deceived by Satan. And 2 Corinthians tells us that if our gospel be hid, you know it's hid because Satan has blinded the eyes and ears of people. But you know, we're still a preaching. Proclaim it. Shout it. Because it's still the truth. And it's still the only thing that God, the one that we're talking about, and the one that they're all supposed to be talking about, the only thing God has promised to honor. We do pray and ask your prayers upon us, upon our people in Ohio. God's been good to us. And again, we thank this church and Covenant Baptist Church for their generosity to us and their love. We've got some pictures if any of you want to see what that accomplished. But we just thank the Lord. Any good in me, I thank the Lord. My children, I thank the Lord. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, love, and grace.
Amen. 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 Amen.